Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Kevin Wooster is with us today. You can find his blog at sdpb.org/Wooster. Hey, Kevin, welcome back.
It's great to be back. I love the possum story.
Isn't that a good one?
I wish I could come out of my deck and see a possum trying to play dead.
I have a possum in my backyard, but they run.
Yeah.
If I'm a possum chaser, I can't help myself, and they're kind of fast.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
A thing in my house. So we got a little neighborhood possum.
I wish we had a neighborhood possum. We've got a lot of critters. The Cardinals are back this year. We're excited about that. But a possum would really add.
That
to
would
the
just make. Yeah. Well, you'll get one, and you'll write about it because.
Because and speaking of Janet, I love the outliner and the pantser thing. Too. That's always a good reminder because I tried to outline for 40 years in newspaper writing and other stuff. I just can't do it very well. I just end up leaving the outline anyway. I make a nice outline and I look back at it and I say, well, I don't have anything on the outline in here. What am I doing?
I reverse outline. When that was assigned to me in school, if you had to do an outline, I would write the whole piece and then I'd write the outline from reverse and turn in the outline and then turn in the piece. that's how I passed English. Because I couldn't do that outline until I was done.
and I have tried sometimes to outline, and it's helpful. And I've seen reporters that I work with that were really good at it, and it really helped them to be efficient and to be comprehensive and everything. But it's just not something that works very well. So I would take off and get done, and the editor would say, wait a minute, I thought you said the horse died. Where is that in here? What? Oh, I forgot the horse died part? Sorry, I got off on... Well, and if you read my blog, you know.
I was going to say, this is a perfect week to sort of talk about this because this is a blog about trout, about birds, about the Republican Women's Club, and it's all sort of flying into the mist or pants in it.
And very thinly tied together at certain points. But that's one of the great things, I appreciate this about the blog and this space, is that I can do the things that I wasn't allowed to do for so many years, go off on tangents, digress, and then try and bring it all back together. And sometimes I think it works pretty well, and I don't know, other times maybe not, but it's fun to try.
And it's fun to just go along with that, too. I think it works. That's my opinion. Other people might have other opinions, and I'm sure they'll share them with you.
Oh, they do,
But let's talk about the Republican Women's Club, because last week we talked about an experience you had where you weren't quite welcome in the room, and now the door is flung wide for Kevin Wooster.
And it was, you know, I was sitting around here, and then somebody sent me an email and mentioned this, the Republican Women's Club, which I hadn't been to for a long time. I think we talked last week about how certain reporting that I've done and when I work for Kello and things, I just kind of drifted away from that daily keeping in touch with the politics of the place, and so I'm trying to get back to that a little bit. And so I was, as I relay in the column, once I get by the, you know, the column I couldn't write yet, and I will someday on campaign internals and fish and all that kind of stuff, that I have to admit, I figured that the two people that I had kind of the interaction with and the Lincoln Day dinner would be there, and they were, and I thought, well, how am I going to be welcomed or not at this event that I haven't been to a long time? So when I was walking up to the door and I was approached by a state legislator who liked the column that I'd written about the Lincoln Day dinner and was enjoying it, and then when I looked in and saw Julie Lean, who's a woman that's been involved in politics or locally and I know really well, and I thought, okay, as I said in there, I'm golden. There's no problem here. And, of course, there was. And she said, sure, wherever, you know, which is kind of the way I was always greeted before, if only out of tolerance. And people think, well, you go in there and swing your weight around. I said, I don't know that I have any weight to swing around. I just think people would just say, sure, you know, go on. And I wasn't the only one back there without a ticket scribbling away usually. So
Neil Tapio is there, and Chantel Krebs is there. Dusty Johnson is there. There's a pretty, you got to tell us this pretty good, joke from Johnson, from Dusty there, who, because that's just worth it for everyone who appreciates the full Kevin Wooster.
It was good up there because, you know, we'd had this issue, and people were coming up to me, and they're kind of quietly saying, listen, what should have happened to you? Shouldn't happen. We should have let you in, and I don't know why that happened. And, you know, and a lot of very nice comments. And Dusty got up there and talked about, as he let off, talking about teaching his three sons to be gentlemen and modeling proper behavior. And he tries to do that himself. And he said, I try to be a gentleman, for example. I haven't said anything bad about anybody here except for Worcester, which really, you know, first of all, some people looked at me as if I was going to take it. And, of course, I thought it was wonderful. There needs to be more humor in politics and probably in journalism, too. Right. But that was a fun way for him to kind of break the ice there and kind of deal with the skinny elephant in the room in the back there. And I think it helped everybody move on. And probably the two officials that I had dealt with previously probably helped them too. It was probably good for everybody.
Right. So I want to talk a little bit about just being in the room and the kind of notes that you bring out. And one of them is this sort of, I'm going to call it a gentle jab back and forth between Dusty Johnson and Chantel Krebs about driving through a South Dakota blizzard. Yeah. And I think that's really insightful into, you know, how people play different things in the state, and you know, that's not dirty politics, but it is sort of them, you know, distinguishing themselves, and that's kind of why you're in the room taking notes. In some ways, that's not a policy issue, but it reveals a little something about you know, the competition between these two candidates and how they're handling it.
Yeah, and I think it does. And I think when you're in the room there, and again, that's what I was talking about. What I liked about being in the Linker Day dinner room, it isn't that you have this media availability out front and get your sound or get your whatever you want and then go off. It's that you hang around and listen and watch. And, you know, and I watched, I think I mentioned in the blog piece, the Dusty, when he went by Chantel and kind of touched her shoulder as if to say, hey, how's it going? And she looked up and smiled. And,
yeah.
You know, they do that. But then also they are adversaries. They may be, you know, friendly acquaintances, they may be friends, I don't know how they would describe that, but they are also adversaries and opponents. And this was where she talked about making it to the Lincoln Day dinner, and I noted that she did get there, and right. I was talking to the, just moments before I talked to Dusty on the phone when I was out in the hallway waiting for my brief trip inside, him being locked in Mitchell, and she was walking in to go to it, and apparently it was an eventful drive out on back roads from Sioux Falls to get there, and she made that point that she got there.
Right.
And we made it here because it's important, she said. And that was fairly subtle if you weren't following the way things went, and
yeah.
Of course I asked Dusty about that afterwards, and he responded to it pretty well. You know, basically, I looked at the interstate, never thought about taking the back roads or wanted to, nor would my wife have allowed me to.
Right.
And, you know, so I think they both handle it the way respectable campaign opponents would handle it.
And it's sort of, I think, you know, as when you're there and you're telling the story, it gives us an insight, the rest of us, into these are real people who are making real decisions about what's safe, what's responsible. You have the scene where Marty Jackley is traveling and his wife is asking him, you know, why are you bringing your suit? Why are you bringing your boots? Why are you bringing your gun? And he sort of, and you see Attorney General Jackley as a full person and as a full South Dakotan. And that's really what it's about in some ways, to sort of the policies are important and key, but also the people. They're like us in many ways. And
absolutely. Yeah. And that was by Marty Jackley, a little tiny campaign ad right there at the beginning of that.
Right.
Kind of, you know, slipped in there, and not by accident, you know, although I imagine it kind of evolved as he was driving out. Wow, I was loading all this up. Here's what my wife said. And what this shows is I'm a South Dakotan. I'm going to wear my suit for these folks, but I'm going to go out and wrestle calves, and if we get a chance, I'm going to take my son hunting. And, you know, that's all good information for a South Dakota politician to share.
I am not cynical about those moments yet. Are you? Some people are. Some people say, oh, well, that was just a 60-second campaign commercial, that story was. But I'm not to the point where I'm rejecting those or rolling my eyes. You've been doing this for a lot longer than I am. Do you think it's authentic when they just try to, you know, tell us who they are?
I think it's political, and I think it's authentic in this case for sure, and in certain cases. And again, that's why you try and be in the back of the room. That's why you try and show up at a coffee. That's why you try and watch candidates, and you get an opportunity to get to know candidates better. I know some people would argue that there's some danger in that you're concerned that you get too close and those kind of things, and that's been a criticism that some people have levied against me over the years from time to time. Because I do connect with people, and I try to connect with all of them that I can. But I happen to know Marty Jackley loves to hunt. I happen to know that he hunts with his son. I happen to know how old his son is and how much his son likes to hunt. I've hunted with his son. I've hunted with Jackley, and I've fished with his son. I like to fish and hunt with Michael better than I like to fish and hunt with Marty, but, you know, maybe that's just me. And so I know that that was exactly what he was going to do, because I've also seen him, and I did a story for this blog last year when he was probably wearing the same jeans. I don't know if he keeps the same one for that day, but wrestling with calves out at his family, his in-laws, his wife's family ranch north of Rapid City. So
well,
I completely believed it.
Martin Barron is the executive editor of the Washington Post. He's going to be on next, and I'm sure we'll have some conversations about, you know, being close to people and covering them at the same time. Kevin Wooster, thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next week.
My pleasure. See you.